listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Dog Pound, get the most trusted Browns news straight from the team to your phone, including insider videos, photos, player news. All the off-season stuff you need. Download the official Browns mobile app for Apple and Android now and stay up to date on your team, including this show, the Browns Huddle, inside the Cleveland Browns, Dog Pound Report, all at your fingertips every week on the Browns mobile app. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here. And again, we gave you part one of John DeFilippo's interview. Here is part two of his press conference following minicamp at the end of last week.
Johnny Manziel really legitimately giving Josh McCown a run for his money in this training camp, and kind of how do you view the whole quarterback picture?
You know, I'm going to echo Coach Pettine's words, and because he and I are on the exact same page about this. I don't see a change for right now going into training camp. I just don't. I think Josh is playing at a high level right now. I think Josh is doing the things we want him to do. Now, that's going to be there's a long time till we kick off against the Jets, okay? There's four preseason games to play. Okay, you know, last year I was at a place where we were sold on a starter too, and then a rookie came in and outplayed him in the preseason. So, again, there's a lot. I think Coach said today there's 86 days or something like that till we kick off against the Jets. So 86 days in the NFL world is an eternity. So, but for right now, if we were lining up against the Jets tomorrow, which we're not, I wouldn't see that changing, no.
Something you personally have talked about in staff meetings, it's a fact that the veterans that this franchise has tried have not done well in a single year and have done nothing in terms of building for the next year. The next year's been bad too. Mm-hmm. Going from Garcia to Dilfer to Delhomme, and maybe Campbell could be included in that discussion. Nothing's happened with the older guys who have come in either for that year or the next year. How do you respond to that scenario?
I wasn't here, so I don't like to respond on places.
The scenario you have now is an older guy coming in, and it's a fact that that there is history both here and in the league about older guys. Maybe in a few instances have worked in the past.
You know, I think that the thing Josh and I have is which maybe benefits us. I wouldn't know the stats on this is our familiarity we have with each other. You know, I don't know if any of those guys had known the OC before, you know, known when we line up day one and pass install, knew how to call the play without really even looking at the playbook. That'd be a situation I think that might be a little bit different. But you know, again, we're gonna have a great plan and we're gonna go from there.
If you have all your running backs, assuming health, mm-hmm. which is never, you're never always healthy. But are you a coach that would prefer to use just two backs going, or you can? They used three backs at times last year, and the backs I think all thought it was a little bit problematic. So, do you prefer two backs?
I like to go with the guy that has the hot hand. If the guy's got the hot hand, you ride it out. Now, you're going to have game plan specific plays for certain guys, like a Duke Johnson, where you want to get him out on a pass route or run a certain, you know, outside zone or whatever. But, you know, I'm a big believer in the best five offensive linemen up front. I'm a big believer in if the guy's got a hot hand, you keep riding him. And that's kind of just a philosophy that I have.
Who do you think your five best offensive linemen would be? I mean, is Cam in that?
Cam's in the mix. Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. Cam's in the mix. It was disappointing to see him go down with that injury because he was making strides. Now, again, you know, it's a fine line with Cam. And, again, right now, all the tape on Cam's not going to be pretty because we're playing him at three different spots. But in the big picture, like I always talk about, and I try to think as big picture as I can, it's going to help us in the fall. It really is. It's going to help us. The kid's going to have exposure to a lot of spots on the offensive line.
Where do you think you'll line him up day one of training camp?
Day one of training camp. Probably right guard. And then we'll always mix him in a little bit at center and always mix him in a little bit at left tackle. But if I had to guess, I'd say right guard.
Why left tackle instead of
right tackle? Because Joe Thomas doesn't practice every day.
Yeah, but in terms of it's possibly starting at right tackle, Thomas is going to start if he's healthy.
Sure.
Getting the right tackle.
Yeah, he's played all five spots this spring. I mean, so, you know, but if you had to tell me where he's going to start out, it'd probably be right guard.
What about Mitchell Schwartz and John Greco? What have you seen from
that? I'll tell you, I really like those two guys. I like our offensive line. This is as talented a group, as smart as a group as I've been around. I mean, they're the, exactly what you want on an offensive line, okay? And a lot of the offensive linemen are the same no matter what franchise you go to or team you're on. They all hang out together. They're all friends. And you hope the majority of them are all smart guys, and we're fortunate that all those guys are off the chart smart, okay? Off the chart smart. I think Mitchell Schwartz has gotten a lot better in his pass protection in this offseason. I think he's gotten a lot better. It's hard to tell without the pads on, but, you know, when you're going against some of the guys we have across the ball, I'm pleased with Mitchell Schwartz. I'm pleased with John Greco. I think both those guys have had a positive spring.
You know, let me follow up on Schwartz. For some reason, I'm not saying from you guys at all, but he gets a reputation of not – everybody wants to keep replacing that guy.
I haven't heard that, so I have not heard that since I've been here. So.
What about Rob Hassler? You see him line up at the slot, outside receiver.
Yeah, I think Rob's very similar to Duke. I think you've seen him line up in a bunch of different places. The thing Rob brings to the table is, he ran past. I don't even know who it was yesterday watching it on tape. You know, when we ran the corner go to Hawk in the red zone, I mean, he was the guy that has to clear out the play for the outside post. And, you know, I don't think it was Joe. It may have been Joe on the outside, but, you know, he ran right past the guy. So every time you have a guy that's that big and can run that fast and do a lot of jobs, those guys have a way lasting in this league and playing at a good level.
Despite the fact that you know, Josh is obviously the likely starter right now, after watching Johnny now throughout this whole entire offseason, how, you know, encouraged are you that he can do this job in the NFL, or how excited are you about what he's doing?
I'm pleased with Johnny. I'll tell you, I'm pleased with Johnny, you know, the kid's had the lack of continuity in that second huddle has hurt him a little bit. It really has, from the offensive line, guys moving around, the receivers, you know, two young receivers that are in there with him. So some of the things you see on the field aren't all on Johnny, okay? It's never all on one guy, okay? It's just like anything, the old cliche. The quarterback gets way too much praise when he wins and way too much blame when he loses. So, you know, not everything Johnny's been out there has been on Johnny. I'm very pleased with his progress. I think he's made another step from OTAs to minicamp. I really do. I think he's getting comfortable in there. You know, there's a couple throws, and I would never say anything in here to anyone that I haven't talked to the players about. There's a couple throws, like the corner ball to Hauser yesterday. We need to make that. So, again, we're a work in progress. I'm pleased with the strides we've made on offense. We're never going to be happy with where we are on offense, no matter whether we lead the league or we're last in the league. We're never going to be satisfied on offense, and as competitors, I hope that's what our players expect. Well, one, he took his eye off of, I thought, and the other two were a little bit low and to the right. So we need to make those. I always tell those guys, we actually do a drill, bad shotgun snap drill, where I tell those guys they need to be like a hockey goalie back there. You know, like you see a hockey goalie get over and then get back to fight, get back inside the A-gap. We actually drill that work, because you're not going to get a perfect shotgun snap all the time. So, again, he needs to get better than that. I thought he took his eye off one. I thought the other two were kind of low and hot. But that first one he could have handled.
That was Browns offensive coordinator John DeFilippo there, wrapping up his press conference after, of course, the mini camp. The team taking its break now before training camp. So Matt, I'll ask you, after hearing, listening to Flip, after seeing everything out there, let's go through our five big takeaways on offense after this portion of the offseason. I'll go number one, and that is this. This offensive line is as good as there is in football, and adding Cam Irvin and his versatility, the flexibility, and the depth that provides is going to be a wonderful thing for this team.
Takeaway number two for me, and you said it about the offensive line, and I'm going to reverberate it throughout the other position groups, is depth. Depth at running back, depth at tight end, depth at wide receiver. And what that will allow us to do is to not pigeonhole one player and ask them to be, as John DeFilippo said, I believe in the first half of this interview, was a one-trick pony. We have no just deep ball threat. We have route runners. We have possession receivers. And I think it's very clear right now what role those guys will play. You're going to be our guy in these situations. Not this situation, these situations, and that can only help, you know, grow the diversity and the threats that we have offensively.
My second takeaway is that for the first time that I've been here with this team, there is a quarterback who looks like an NFL quarterback, and that is Josh McCown, just in terms of his professionalism on and off the field, his demeanor in the huddle, his ability to stand tall in the pocket, his underrated athleticism, the fact that he throws the ball on time, and the fact that he is accurate at all three levels. He looks good. Am I trying to come out and say that he's one of the top 16 quarterbacks in the NFL? No, but this team can win with solid quarterback play, and I think they have a very, very good opportunity to get that from Josh McCown.
My fourth big takeaway is what I like to call an open and closed offense. And the reason why I say that is it kind of coincides with my last point, being having depth at all the position groups. We can, and this goes back to Jim Tressel at Ohio State, you'd line up in 22 personnel, two tight ends, two fullbacks, one wide receiver, and know he's going to run the football, and you can't stop that. And on the very next possession, he can align in shotgun with five, four wide, motion to empty, and execute that play too. So as we grow in what we're able to do, and as you heard John DeFilippo say, 70% of this offense is out there. The remaining is going to have to happen in training camp and be situational. We can pack it in tight and gain yards, and now we have the players and playmakers to be able to line wide with an accurate quarterback with a strong arm to deliver the ball where it needs to be thrown.
Yes, and there is no quarterback competition. My third would be that these running backs are talented. Isaiah Crowell has looked good. Terrence West has flashed at times. But the Duke Johnson brings a dimension that was previously missing from this running back group. He is going to be used all over the field. And as I think right now he's even a better receiver than he is a runner, and is going to be used in mismatch situations with all that pre-snap motion, as you're talking about, that's going to be all over the place. I think it's going to be a very, very good and fun thing to see the way they utilize Duke Johnson. And he's going to make some very big plays.
Yeah, my fourth takeaway is, and it coincides with the word that you used to describe this offense last week, and it was that shifty.
Yep.
Shifty, that word shifty. And having spent time on the field and seeing it, and then, you know, poking, not necessarily poking fun, but having a, you know, little chit-chat conversation with Coach John DeFilippo, there's a rhyme and a reason to it. We're not just doing it to do it, which some offenses do to try and trick you. There's a reason why we put a guy where we put him. There's a reason why we move a guy to move him. And that's to create a scenario that is, you know, works into the offensive favor. And I like that about this offense. And that's a wrinkle that we're adding in year one that will only evolve as the season goes on, and especially into year two.
And then I would say my fourth takeaway is that this wide receiver group is diverse, that you've got the veteran possession guy, you've got a very precise route runner in Hartline, you got the shifty slot guy in Andrew Hawkins, and now you have a guy really emerging in Taylor Gabriel who can line up outside and beat you with flat-out speed and separation, and I can't wait to see what we have in Vince Maley, who physically looks like he should be an imposing, dominant figure.
He does, and my last takeaway is, while we may not have that flashy Jordan Camera-esque guy at the tight end position, just as the wide receiver group will be by committee, all of them getting their fair share of opportunities and their yards as well via receiving yards, I think the same is going to be said for the tight end group. No one guy is going to be that go-to guy like Jordan Cameron was, you know, for the past few years of this offense.
Correct.
It's going to be by committee. They're all going to have their roles. They're all going to be asked, you know, to be used in certain, you know, portions of the playbook, and they're going to be very good at it, and we will take advantage of it in that situation and then flip back to the other guy and use him to his skill set to the best of our ability.
Yeah, I think you're going to have a good mix. You've got Hausler's primary pass catcher, Dre primarily a blocker, and Gary Barnes can do all of those things. And it'll be interesting to see Randall Telfair, who they're very high on, also Malcolm Johnson, who's going to play more of that fullback H-back role. All right, when we come back, we're going to finish things up here today on this edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, when we play a little after further review about the Browns offense here as they head into training camp. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm, CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It's the hardest thing for me to do, and it's the most important part. That relationship's a